This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Knudsen from ESPN, with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm and ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also part of the Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 team. You check him on Sunday mornings from 9 until noon Eastern time on Sirius XM. He is Jonathan Hood. Okay, we are on the road to WrestleMania, but we have hit our first speed bump on the road to WrestleMania as Bron Breakker needed hernia surgery and is out indefinitely right now. Again, depending upon the reports you see, there's hopes that he can return before WrestleMania. There are some saying don't have no idea if he's going to be able to return before WrestleMania, but obviously a big deal for WWE. Apparently had injured himself flipping over the announcer desk while he was throwing his temper tantrum, not this past Monday, but the Monday before, that eventually led to the hernia surgery that is now keeping him off of television. So the question begins today. What does this mean for WWE and WrestleMania? On break, seemingly planning, huge into the WrestleMania plans, may or may not be available come the middle of April in Las Vegas.
This means it's going to be a hell of a SummerSlam or Survivor Series or whatever he returns. That's what it means for Bron Breakker and his status right now. It's too bad. They said he was kind of banged up even before that, but then he gets the hernia surgery, and that's tough. You know, what I don't know, guys, is exactly what the plans are for WrestleMania because Triple H keeps changing them. As we know, we've seen it reported over the last 7 days that they've had some changes to the top of the cards, night one and night two. Bron Breakker is supposed to be a big part of that. Now he's not. And so there needs to be a little reshuffling at the top of the card for sure now that Bron's gone.
Yeah, I'm curious because there isn't that obvious, it was going to be Bron versus this person at Mania. Like, we thought maybe him winning the Rumble. You have someone, Gabe?
Well, I thought they were going to pivot to him versus Seth. And my guess, my assumption being that while the man in the black hoodie and mask is not Seth Rollins right now, that it is eventually going to be Seth Rollins because they believe he will be healthy enough to wrestle at Mania. But Obviously, now that's up in the air.
Right. Like, that's a big if.
Who knows? Because I'm not really interested in Seth going, I assumed he would go through the rest of the division on his way to Bron Breakker. To get that WrestleMania match, but if it's not, I'm not interested in Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory at WrestleMania.
Many people are.
So my guess is it would have to be then Seth versus Big Bronson Reed, if that's the direction they go. Who knows? Because again, I assumed whoever the masked man was, again, I'm taking a leap of faith saying it's Seth, that him versus Bron would have been a good WrestleMania match. Like, that would have made sense. Storyline-wise, would have been a good match in the ring. Makes a ton of sense. But now I don't think you can book that. I don't think you can count on that. And no. I'm curious to see what they do after Elimination Chamber, because then they have the 6 weeks between Chamber, all of March, and then a couple of weeks into April before, to see where everybody's at the end of the month.
I am hoping that adds the intrigue of the storytelling where Bron has signified himself as the leader of the vision. Now with him out, who becomes that leader? Because it could be Bronson, it could be Logan Paul, and I'm fine with both those options. I think, we've talked a lot. The WWE has an old person problem in terms of creating new stars. Bron was going to be that guy. You now have that hole. Is there someone that can fill that? And if they give Bronson the ball to run with it, I don't hate that. I think that could be entertaining, and I'd be interested to see him and Rollins at Mania.
You do recall a couple of weeks ago, all before this, that Logan Paul suggested that it should be Bron Breakker going for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
As if they're pushing Bron into, the wood chipper, right? And just like, you go out there and do it, right? You would think Logan, with all of his charisma and his arrogance, like, it should be me. I should be at the top of the card. But no, he pushed Bron out there, which means that at some point there was going to be a turn where that group or Logan turns on Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker is already a babyface, but I think that when he's out the group, they're pushing him out of the group. So now I feel like they need to fast forward past that. Now that Bron's gone, now I think Logan Paul is the leader. And I think he's going to show that he's the leader of the group. Well, I guess we're not going to get Bad Bunny and Logan Paul. I guess we're not getting that, as much as that would be kind of cool. So I think that's going to be Logan Paul in that spot, because I think unless there's someone else that they're going to put in that place, Logan's going to be the man in the vision.
But who else are you going to put with Bad? I mean, again, assuming the rumors of Bad Bunny potentially being at WrestleMania are true, like, who do you put with Bad Bunny? Like, him versus Logan Paul made all the sense in the world.
You did.
That's your headline match. I do feel like it might need to be a tag match, but, like, that's the headlines. Those two in the ring together.
Why?
That's if Bad Bunny is right. Like, that's a rumor. Has he been training before the Super Bowl and all the way up to this point? I have no idea.
I mean, I trust Bad Bunny that give him the next 2 months, because we're basically 2 months away from Mania.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. Give him 2 months. He'll figure it out. Like, because the two times we've seen him in the WWE, he has looked phenomenal. Once in a tag match, and then obviously the San Juan street fight that he had 3 years ago in Backlash. So I don't know. that might have been my favorite part of the run-up to the Super Bowl is on Thursday and Friday, everybody going – If Bad Bunny's Super Bowl show is anything like this, and then sharing his entrance in Puerto Rico from 3 years ago, then we're going to have a good time. It turns out everybody had a good time on Super Bowl Sunday with Bad Bunny. But I don't know. Like, to me, you can't – if Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul was the match, I don't know if you can change that. Like, I don't – because you still need Bad Bunny. If we're having a star problem and we're bringing in Bad Bunny to help with the star problem – but you have to make sure you keep Bad Bunny on the card.
Right.
That's it. And again, I don't know if Bad Bunny's going to be there. If he is, then that is the match, Logan Paul against Bad Bunny. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that Bad Bunny does show up at WrestleMania. He brings his shopping cart. That's the hope. All the stuff. That's what I want. And I just want to just fall back into the chair like I did before 3 years ago, in which I think about that once a week ever since.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Ever since. Oh, good. To the point where I was trying to convince Mrs. Neitzel if Backlash was in at Puerto Rico, they should go. I'm trying to support you.
First thing he said to my wife when he met, by the way, there's rumors. Backlash might be in Puerto Rico. You guys are going. She's like, oh, well, okay.
I'm trying to help you push that through. You see, I just want to sell
before WWE let us down. They put it in Tampa instead.
Not quite the same as Puerto Rico.
No, it is not. It is not. Especially if you had Bad Bunny for Mania and like a Puerto Rico Backlash. Yes. Woo, that would have cooked. But nothing, I digress.
Nothing like one of Gabe's maniac friends just coming through the door, selling her on Backlash. Is it 5 seconds into the home?
Always be selling. But I mean, obviously, this is a huge deal for WWE, Bron Breakker being out, because it seemed like while he wasn't going to be in a world championship match, he was going to be in a pretty prominent spot on the WrestleMania card. And I think he was going to continue his, his climb towards one of those world championships, having a big match at WrestleMania. And that's all in doubt. And by the way, it should be. Like, I'm not saying rush back. Like, hernia surgeries, again, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but especially wrestlers dealing with your core, like, you don't want to rush back from something like this.
Yeah, they're in a rough spot. I think hopefully someone can fill those shoes of being that next star, but not Braun right now. It sucks.
It's funny that we talk about the WWE all the time, and we talk about, you know, how they're at the top of the profession, top of professional wrestling, and then you take a Bron Breakker out, and then the Jenga pieces start to fall.
Yeah.
And that's something. You have a lot of wrestlers, NXT, WWE, Raw, and SmackDown, but it's just something to be said about a guy that's just a key cog to everything, like exciting to watch. Like, there's always, you know, Brock Lesnar, there's always some of these part-timers. But when you get something young and fresh, you want to see that guy get in the mix at WrestleMania, and now he's gone. That's the risk you take, you know?
Yep.
All right, Brian, let's go ahead and dive into the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. What do we have at number one this week?
We're about 2 weeks away from the Elimination Chamber making its way to Chicago and filling in more pieces on the road to WrestleMania. In the Men's Chamber, we learned Randy Orton and LA Knight will be in the match. We also will learn a couple new ones. Cody versus Sammy versus Fatu on Friday. Gunther versus Dom versus Javon Evans on Monday. Who should win the Men's Chamber?
I think it's a mistake to – I mean, who should win the Men's Chamber? It should be Gunther. If you're putting Gunther in one of these matches, he should win. Like, you should be protecting this dude. You're making him into a beast. He's retiring people left and right, and there are presumably more people to be retired later this year, whether the Brock Lesnar and or Chris Jericho rumors come to fruition. Obviously, we know Brock is in WWE, but if he's retiring and he's going to retire them, like, you need to protect him at all costs. Putting him in, I guess he can lose the triple threat match and not factor into the decision. He can be, you know, the one that's not pinned. But I just think that's a mistake. If you put him in the chamber, somebody has to eliminate him. Somebody has to pin him. And then he should win the chamber. I mean, which I guess I'd be open to, because that would be a nice little curveball from Cody Rhodes. But I mean, it kind of seems like Cody's winning the men's chamber, right? Or I guess Fatu could potentially win it. And that just sends Cody into a fit of rage and continues his down spiral. Or Raheem, I don't know. What do we call him this week? But it seems like it all signs point towards Cody Rhodes. And I hate that they are putting Gunther in one of these elimination matches, because, again, unless you've got plans for Gunther going over at Mania and walking out of there with that WWE Undisputed Championship, he should be nowhere near that world championship picture, because he's an attraction all on his own. He's built himself into an attraction that doesn't need a championship. I don't know why you're
Raheem. A reference to his penis. I think that's what he was trying to say. I think that's what happened there. I think we nailed all three names there, because I wrote down Jacob Fatu, Gunther, or Cody Rhodes. Cody felt like this, you know, the Royal Rumble was away, and now he's in the chamber, and so that's a way in as well. But what about Jacob Fatu? To me, I think it spices up McIntyre against Cody if Fatu's in that match as well, a three-way.
So I hear you, but why does Cody need to be in that? What if it's just Drew versus Fatu for the title?
Is Cody the host of WrestleMania? Is that what you're saying?
Find something else for him to do.
Oh, he's the Miz. He's just the host of WrestleMania now. You know why? Because Cody's a top guy. You can't do that to Raheem.
He'll still be on the card. He can be Bad Bunny's tag team partner.
That's really a fall from grace, from the top of the card to a gimmick match. My God. Then there's credence that WWE does have a problem with the Rhodes family. You gonna put him in polka dots too, or
why not?
Or make him a symbol? You know, he's androgynous. Goddamn.
Drew versus Fatu, just one on one. I'd be a lot more interested than having Cody involved.
I'm just saying, like, it may not be a three-way, but I'm saying, like, Fatu, to me, would freshen up something that we've seen. Because we've seen Cody and McIntyre a million times. Mm-hmm. A million times. You know, that would, I think Fatu would freshen up that match. And I'm not saying that Fatu would win or Cody would win, but it's something different. Do we really need to see Cody and McIntyre again?
Nope. No, we don't. We don't. I mean, that's the direction it's trending, is to be a three-way, I think, a triple threat at Mania. I just don't know how you get there, because then obviously Fatu and or Cody have to win. And unless at the end they do like a last chance qualifier, guys who had already lost some of these triple threat matches get into another one, and that's the last chance to get in, and that's how Cody and or Fatu, and then they do some wonky finish in the chamber where they both get through. I'm not quite sure. I don't know how to connect the dots of how to make it a triple threat after Elimination Chamber, and one of those two presumably wins it.
Fatu just attacks. He just comes to WrestleMania anyway. Not really part of the match. He just comes in. He's not booked on the card. He goes, you know what? I'm part of this.
It's a no DQ match. He comes in, he pins one of the two, and just walks out with the championship.
Sure.
You tell him no.
Sure. I mean, that's it. He's so dangerous
that
you can't tell him no. And just like, you're not on the card. You're not, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, and he does all that stuff. And he just starts, you know, he just starts going for it, man. And, you know, that's the only way to look at it. Those three we're talking about. So Gunther on the men's side, my God. So Triple H was trained by Killer Kowalski. It's not like the three of us have seen a lot of Kowalski film. I know who he is. It's not like I've broken down matches of Killer Kowalski. And so what I think Triple H is doing is he's trying to reprise and try to give the modern-day Killer Kowalski and Gunther. They're the same size, same kind of different wrestling ability, because Gunther's better now than Kowalski was, as the loaf of bread that he was when he wrestled in the 60s and 70s. But it reminds me of a Harley Race story. Now, did Ric Flair tell this story on GKW? I don't remember, but I know I heard it from Ric Flair. Then it might have been on this show, where Harley Race sees Terra Ryzen, sees Triple H in WCW, And Harley looks over, got a cigarette going, and he goes, "Hey, big kid, come on over here. Hey, who are you trained by? And Triple H says, "I was trained by Killer Kowalski." And then Harley takes a drag of a cigarette. "Kowalski was the shits." And like Triple H is down and crestfallen, like, "Oh my, that's my mentor. Like, he was the shits." And so I think that Triple H looks at Gunther, and boy, if he wins in the chamber, like, is he just that unbeatable? Like, if he wins in the chamber, oh my God.
So him winning, I'm just trying to make a path to then Mania, how it makes sense. There a world where Cody doesn't win Friday. We get Drew versus Cody at the chamber. Cody wins the title back, and it's Cody versus Gunther for the title.
Where Gunther wins?
Yes.
Short-lived. Wow.
Man, that's playing. You want to talk about playing hot potato. Whoo!
I agree, but I'm trying to think where else you put Gunther. Like, Gunther versus Drew doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense. You're right.
So you need to get the belt off of Drew in that situation.
Oh, man. McIntyre just got the title. Transitional champ?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of any logical path to get there. It feels like Triple H sort of booked themselves into a corner where it's like, oh, wait, now what do we do? Like,
well, and again, like, Cody doesn't need to wrestle for the championship every bleep in Mania, man.
Agreed.
Like, again, I go back to, and they found great things for, like, so WrestleMania X7 is always looked at as a great, right? Yeah, Stone Cold, Rock, headlining. The next year, they weren't both back in the main event, right? Like, then they Rock wrestled Hulk Hogan. That was a great match. I forget. Stone Cold had he wasn't in the main event. I remember that. And the following year, like, neither one of them in the main event. I think it was
Hall.
Yeah, I think yes. He wrestled versus Hall, and then Triple H and Jericho were the main event. But like, you don't always have to like put Cody in every championship match. Like, is that what we're just gonna do for the end of time? Like, Cody's gonna be in the championship match every single WrestleMania? Like, freshen it up, man. You're wondering why you're struggling selling tickets out there in Las Vegas. Like, they don't want to look at Cody. Like, oh, right. No, clearly Cody's not the problem. What if he is? What if you want to come up with something fresh and new for him?
Like Stone a heel run.
Stone Cold vs. Hall, by the way, middle of that card, in between Edge and Booker, and a four-corner elimination match for the WWF Tag Team titles, featuring Chuck and Billy, the APA, the Dudleys, and the Hardys.
Chuck and Billy, huh?
Uh-huh.
You look so good to me.
Anger.
They're androgynous, damn it. Okay. They got married.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But again, like, Cody, but we're already too deep into this, right? Yeah. Where it's clearly Cody's going to be chasing after the championship, like him and Drew. It just seems like they're laying those pieces down, because the point stands. Like, you need to have something for Cody to do, right? I'm not saying take Cody. Cody's one of your biggest stars, but like, him around the championship picture. Okay, let's just give it a rest for a little bit. Let's see if other guys can step up. They keep coming back to the Cody well, and. Like, so we're going to end night one with Cody. Is everyone going to be going crazy in Vegas night one if him and McIntyre main event and he wins the championship? Or everyone's going to go, yawn, Cody's champ again. All right, hopefully tomorrow's better.
So, Hood, you're not okay with Cody in a Bad Bunny match. What if this leads to Cody and Orton and we get the Orton heel turn?
Will this happen before WrestleMania? Will this happen?
Something happens in the chamber that sparks something, and then we go down that path, and it's Cody versus Orton at Mania, no title involved. And the title match is just Drew and Fatu.
I can see Cody and Randy. That's a fresh match. Two generations, you know, yeah. Rhodes family, the Orton family. I think you could tell a story there. I'm just to let you know that's going to cement Cody further as a babyface. I thought he was kind of trending toward heel as Raheem, but apparently not. So, just so you know, like, I thought
closer. Wait, we're booing the thing that he was assuming Raheem was famous for? I thought that thing was kind of universally cheered.
Do you know what's going on in this country? So I would say no. I would say they're against the penis joke from Charlotte. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they're in a sticky situation, because maybe they can do something to make it interesting and turn this into a triple threat, because they can't do, I'll agree with this, they cannot do straight up Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes. Can't do
correct.
It. Can't correct. Do that because that's going to make people get to the end of Mania, assuming it main events night one. And this probably includes our guy, Brian. They're probably just going to leave before the main event so they can go check out all the other shows happening in Vegas, right?
Like,
we got to get to the other ones. Let's try to get there early because we've seen it so much.
There is a midnight show I want to get to this year that is of night one of Mania. So I'd rather be there.
See, he's already got it planned out. I'm telling you, he's got it planned out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's Janela. That's what I thought.
The spring break, I believe, is that night. Yep. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Yep, the Immortal Cluster fuck is Saturday night. 10 p.m., so a little earlier. So who needs to watch Cody and Drew? I'm going to head over there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to make sure you draw these people in because, maybe Fatu does that and they make it interesting. But right now, the run that they are currently pointing towards of those two, like, I'm not interested in a Cody Rhodes chase right now for the championship. Like, if they made Cody Rhodes start over and have to run through some people to get up there, maybe I'm into that. But him just being losing the championship and still being at the front of the line, meh.
Agreed. Well, on the women's side, Rhea Ripley and Tiffany Stratton have qualified. Friday, we have Alexa Bliss versus Julia versus Zelina. Monday, Asuka versus Bayley versus Natty. Who should win the women's chamber?
I'm going to need you to stop chiming in before Gabe can introduce you. Again, another week of this. There's a format here, damn it.
Two count.
The quick count.
I mean, Natty should win. But I believe I have made my case for Natty. Again, not Natalya, but this version of Natty, the ass kicker Natty. She should not be losing anytime soon to anyone, anywhere. I'm disappointed that they did a no-match thing on Monday Night Raw. They should have just had her go in from pillar to post and had her absolutely destroy Maxine. I mean, she still destroyed Maxine. It just didn't count in a match. Like, just, hey, dust that off your feet and let's put a rocket on her and get her to the top. Unfortunately, I do not believe that is the way that this is going to go, though.
So does this mean Tiffy or Bayley? Because that's the two I wrote down.
Yeah, it feels
kinda
like
feels like Tiffy.
Tiffy and Jade. Tiffy is the face.
Tiffy and Jade. Yeah, I could see that. And the reason why I have Bayley as a wild card is because I think that she deserves to have a bump up at some point here. I think even with her kind of strange character development, it still doesn't feel like a top lady like she used to. Does that make sense? Like, it,
no,
to
100%.
Me, it doesn't seem like she's like vying for any women's championship. She seems like she's still kind of middle card. Makes me wonder whether or not she's going to be there for the long haul. Is there a contract renewal that I'm aware of? I feel like, didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
The possibility of her going to AEW to team.
Have they failed on that like split personality thing?
It didn't get over.
Because it feels like we were getting stuff backstage and that was fun.
Yeah, and we never really saw it out in front of the crowd, you know, where she would just, like, flip between the two. Didn't get a ton of that. I mean, some, not a lot. But if they were to go Bayley, that to me would be more of an indictment on Jade Cargill. Because we've talked about Jade. Like, Jade has so much going for her. The in-ring work is not one of those things. And it's gotten better, but it hasn't gotten a ton better. But again, she looks, if you turn on the television and you see her holding the championship, like, yeah, that makes sense. Uh-huh. I mean, just, yeah, look at her. And again, the way she can cut promos, she puts down people as a heel, like, it's all great. So to me, if Bayley were to go over, it would signify to me, it would say more of, hey, Bayley is this trusted hand. Like, she is a veteran. She is tremendous in the ring. She is going to get the most while continuing to try to put Jade Cargill over. That's what he would say to me if they went Bayley over Tiffy. Because again, yes. Tiffy's in-ring work, while good, isn't of the caliber of, oh, like, Bayley can have, we always said it about HBK, Bayley could probably have a match at this point with a broomstick and she'll put the broomstick over and it'll look great. It'll be fantastic. I don't think Tiffy's quite there yet with her in-ring work. So if they went with someone like Bayley, it would say, okay, we want to make sure this is a good match, and that's why we're putting Bayley in this spot.
Which I'd be fine with. So, like, I saw the stat floating around. Jade has been the women's champion for over 100 days now. Yep. Do you know how many title defenses on television? Hood's got it right. It is a zero.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one on television over 100 days as champion. So I think
and SmackDown is 3 hours, by the way.
Oh, right. Oh, so yeah, it's not a time thing. Is it a pay-per-view thing? You know, some of those four-match cards, you can throw in a fifth match, I guess. Like, saying that stuff out loud, like, it's almost like you need Bayley.
Yeah, and you think Gunther's protected.
Right.
Holy smokes. She didn't even wrestle. I mean, Gabe is right, though. When he started to talking about Jade, you look at her and he's like, yeah, I mean, it's perfect. She should be champion. Right. But my God. You got to put her in the deep end. It's not like they're doing house shows where she can work on this shit. It's just you're on TV. She's a baddie. She puts a hand up in people's faces, you know, and then that's it. And she just kind of goes away until the pay-per-view. She wrestles for 8 minutes. She's fighting from underneath for about five, and then the match is over. Like, it's kind of the Goldberg thing. When it's past 10 minutes, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's not smooth. And the WWE and wrestling is about smooth. And even though I think she's fine, this is an issue from AEW, from WWE, of exactly what she's supposed to be. What is she supposed to be besides look good?
Yeah. And looking, by the way, at her cage match in January, a couple house shows, her and Bayley.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a time limit on that match? How many? No. 10 minutes? Five?
I think that might be generous. I don't know.
What house shows? When did the WWE have NXT?
They were on the Europe, so they always do one around. Well, in January, it would have been European. They were doing a bunch of, because anytime they go to Europe, they always do some house shows, and then they've got the holiday tour, but that's about the only time they're doing house shows.
This is the holiday show. So yeah. One in Worcester and one in Bridgeport.
Okay. You're talking Massachusetts, Worcester?
Worcester, yeah.
Yes, okay. Or Worcestershire sauce.
Right.
Yes.
Worcestershire, sure. Yes. Oh, okay. He's talking about Worcester, kid. Oh.
Tommy. Hey, Tommy there. Worcester. So there you have it. A couple of house shows, great. But, I mean, so what we're saying is that Tiffy and Jade would be a better match.
No, I think Bayley would be needed for that match.
Tiffy and Jade would look better on the poster.
Correct. And the lead up could be good. We've seen, you know, Tiffy on the mic maybe crosses the line a little bit, but could be fun there.
Oh, my God.
But then the bell has to ring.
Brandon Phillips wasn't that good. Woo!
Brandon Phillips!
Could you imagine if Tiffy crossed the line again? Brandon Phillips rolled out over to second and short every time I saw him play. Woo! And she leaves the ring. A shot at Brandon Phillips, the old red. Could you imagine? No, I'm lying again.
Other options. We've talked a lot about Raquel the last few weeks. Is there a way you get her in, and she challenges Jade?
Well, who's leading that match?
Raquel has to.
Yeah,
she's got to call.
I mean, again, would look great on the poster. And honestly, like. Would definitely be more interested in Raquel versus Jade than Liv versus Jade. Like when they showed up on SmackDown this past Friday, because Liv is still making the tour. Who am I going to pick? Doing that whole thing. And then when she stepped up to Jade, I thought, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd watch more of this. You know, if they come back again this Friday and there's a little bit of a match, I wouldn't complain just to kind of see. But I guess I'm still hoping for Raquel versus Liv. Somehow, some way, over on the Raw side, because I think that would be intriguing instead of Stephanie Vaquer. But
I guess the other wild card is Bianca returning.
That's still a possibility. Yes,
and then we know Bianca can carry that match, and we'd be fine.
Yes,
that
is possible. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm watching Liv and Raquel. They're really deep into their click mode, aren't they? I mean, it is Sean and Nash, and it's just like, holy cow. Liv can't stop talking, just laughing at people. I mean, she's not even a serious person anymore. She's laughing at everybody. Mouth wide open, laughing, cackling at people, loud on the mic. She's just in her element right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Yeah, everything that she has been doing since winning the Rumble, been a big fan of. And, yeah, again, I'm But in terms of Bianca, like, she would have to be back in time and be in the chamber, right?
Yes.
Yes. But is there any room for her in the chamber? Because the matches are locked in, aren't they, for the next couple of weeks?
Monday will bring us to four, so there's a couple spots left.
Yeah, so we've got Tiffy and Rhea are already in there.
Yep. And then Friday and Monday, we'll get one more. So it's a four, we got to get to six, so there's room.
And again, going back to the men's and Cody, like, Rhea's your biggest star on the women's side. Yes. Gets the biggest reactions, is fantastic. I don't think Rhea's going to be anywhere near the title picture. She's got the tag team titles, and that's fine for now. Maybe there's some sort of breakup there. You find her a different singles, you know, match to be in, and unless you have it, they're still the tag champs. But again, Rhea doesn't need to be in a championship match. Why does Cody need to be in a championship?
Well,
match?
Also, we talked about a few weeks ago, Charlotte. Charlotte's one of your biggest stars on the women's side. She's at her best these last few weeks because she's not around the title picture. Mm-hmm. Like, her doing that other stuff is like, oh, this is actually entertaining.
She
but
is
not that.
She is so comfortable now just being Ashley Fleer.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with her friend Alexa Bliss. and it, you know, it takes the pressure off. It's just like, I'm part of a tag team. It's all good. She knows she'll be back in the title picture at some point, but at this point in time, chilling out as a tag team wrestler. Yep.
And we're different. Not saying Cody never needs to be in the title picture again. Just like, step back for a little bit.
I'm just saying, take a year off.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be in the championship match every WrestleMania. Like, that doesn't need to be a thing.
The Cena era would like to have a word with you.
That's fair.
Every pay-per-view, Big Match John was there.
Him and Rock still main evented, but there were times where he didn't have the championship, like Punk and Jericho at that Mania when they went the one that wasn't on the line the first time they did Rock versus Cena.
But you know what that was, though. Like, anytime that John Cena was on, title or not, he was the guy. CM Punk, you could say that for Vince, for not the whole run, but some would say, oh, CM Punk, top of the card, huh? Like the opener and the world champion. Like, oh, you're giving him the old Rey Mysterio treatment, right? It's just like, you're the guy, but not really the guy. You know, but I just, you know what? If I want to see how... I'm very interested in Cody between now and WrestleMania on whether or not there's going to be a change in his attitude, because Fatu is an attitude changer. So I want to know if that's going to be a thing. I'm very curious because he's starting to get really riled up again, but is it just a baby face that's just riled up, or are you turning heel at some point?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer.
Maybe he's just all gas, no brain. Maybe Solo was hashtag Solo was right.
It's a hashtag. It is hashtag.
What do we got at number three this week
in the world of AEW? Saturday in Sydney on tape delay, it is AEW Grand Slam. Six matches announced already. Pay-per-view quality card. Hair versus hair. Orange Cassidy and Tony Storm versus Wheeler Yuta and Marina Shafir. Whoever takes the losing fall will have their head shaved. Number one contender for the world title match, Hangman takes on Andrade. The Continental title is on the line. Mox defends against Takeshita. The women's tag title on the line. Babes of Wrath defend against Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. The TNT title, Game 7, ladder match. Our guy, Kyle Fletcher, defends against Mark Briscoe. And in the world title, MJF defends against Brody King. What are you most looking forward to at Grand Slam?
I think it is worth noting that they did announce that it's going to be a 2.5-hour broadcast. So it's going to be 2.5 hours on Saturday night. So they already announced, hey, this ain't going to be a regular 2-hour show, which, again, makes sense given the quality of card that they have put together for Grand Slam Australia. Talk about transition champions. Whew, Tommaso Ciampa lasted 11 days. 11 days for Ciampa before he gave it up to Fletcher, and now Fletcher Briscoe in a ladder match, which is probably the one I'm looking forward to the most, just to see what those two do, trying to, you know, kill each other while climbing a ladder to get that TNT championship. So that's where I probably start for the one I am most excited for.
So funny. I wrote that down to Fletcher Ciampa because, you know, AEW is so great with stories. I didn't even know it was their seventh, Fletcher
Briscoe.
Fletcher Briscoe. I didn't even know this was going to be their seventh matchup. Like, oh, thanks for the storytelling. Had no idea that this is going to be the seventh time that they wrestled, but I'm glad they brought it up. And so now this is going to be great. And Briscoe does not mind doing the job. It's going to be a fantastic match. And I was wondering what they do for Fletcher going to Australia. Like, was he going to win the championship? probably would have been cool for him to win the championship in Australia. Yeah. Didn't book it that way. Okay, fine. but now that he goes in as champion, he could be celebrated as champion, retaining against Briscoe. So, and it's a ladder match. It's funny how that is kind of occurred off the top of our guy Fletcher's head. You know what would be great? How about a ladder match? Right. Not just a match, not nose qualification, not a cage match, but a ladder match. So I think Kyle's going to be great there in front of his hometown.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just let him win it there. That is a good point. For me, though, it's the world title match. We had the surprise last week with Brody getting the squash win. We all assume MJF will retain there. But how do you do that with making Brody King still look like a star and look like the monster that he is? I think that'll be a hell of a main event on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a hell of a main event. It's just we already know the results, right? Sure. Like, and I hope it ends up being a really entertaining one. And I think MJF is going to do a really good job while still winning. And I think Brody King's going to get his stuff in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, there is a level of intrigue because Brody was able to do it. Would have been nice if we saw either one of them on television last night. Would have been nice. And they put together the little promo package, but. I guess the world championship, not that big of a deal. But again, this entire card, like...
I know.
I mean, think about when AEW puts together a pay-per-view and, you know, it's 8 or 9, 10 matches that they put together sometimes. You're like, okay, where's the break? Where can I... And now they just shorten it down to basically a 6-card pay-per-view that they're putting on TNT. And like all of these are going to be great.
This all of these are going to be fantastic. Where you have to avoid social all day because of the tape delay. That's the only negative, but this is the pay-per-view quality show on Saturday.
And boy, if you don't have a significant other, this is the show for you.
Valentine's Day.
February 14th. That's just great. Okay, so I guess this is the best time for them to do it. I think the 15th at a prime timer around 7 o'clock Central would have been fine. But no, put it on Valentine's Day when people are going out. Because that's the right thing to do. And by the way, they won't be able to pop the number they did last year because the All-Star game is not on TNT. Remember last year they had a show? Right. Last year they had a show and we were like, oh, man, they're going to have wrestling. And it was a big number. Unfortunately, it was like, who was it? Like, it's like Cesaro against a Masked Man. Do you remember this? Like, it was
something... that was like the opener of Cesaro versus someone.
Yeah, just someone like Dragon Lee. I don't know. It was something like that, right? And just like, oh, that's coming off of the All-Star weekend, All-Star Saturday night.
Festivity Saturday night. Yeah, the dunk contest, 3-point contest, all those things that they do.
It was just a match.
Yeah,
that's what they came up with. So they don't have that. They don't have that backing of the TNT.
That might have been 2 years. So looking at last year, it was the tag match. It was Ospreay and Kenny versus Fletcher and Takeshita.
When was this?
This was last year's Grand Slam Australia.
Was that the first match? Or was that
the main event? First match, yeah.
What about the year before that? I believe it was
main event was Toni Storm versus Mariah May.
Because it was on Australia there too, or?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there's that.
So I would agree with Gabe that that's the matchup I'm really interested in. But to your point about the main event, want to do something fresh? Have the Iceman win. How about that? Want to do something a little bit different? Huh? You scared of that?
So I will say, if you're doing that, does Andrade have to beat Hangman?
Andrade Hangman is also very interesting. Andrade, apparently, this good young upstart that they found.
For now,
this young pup that they found here just running roughshod through the company. Never mind about the other 75 people in the company. Andrade, in and out of the company, and now right up the ladder. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing they have to trust in him, that he's not going to just be like, in a week, like, you know what, actually, I don't want to be here anymore.
Apparently, this was supposed to be Samoa Joe, had Joe not gotten injured. So he ended up kind of taking in the storytelling arc, he ended up taking place of Joe. Because I think the original plan was Joe versus Hangman for that spot at the pay-per-view next month.
So if we assume it's Hangman MJF at the pay-per-view.
Yes,
at Revolution. But if you have the guts to put it on Brody versus Andrade would work.
I mean, yes, absolutely. But I know, hey, listen, MJF is deserving of being the champion. I just threw that dead fish on the show just to say, what if Brody won? That'd be something, man. That'd be something that no one's never thought that they would see. I want to give MJF credit, by the way. He had a number of interviews at the Super Bowl. And he was not an asshole. Because he's like Ross Tucker, right? And he's on the Ross Tucker podcast. So what is this whole thing about the wrestling? What do you do with the So there's Ross Tucker and MJF. He was great. It was none of this. He put himself over because that's what he does. But he was a great representative for AEW at Radio Row when I was told. So it's great. I mean, so that's the guy moving forward. He's a champion and he represented himself very well.
Well, and again, you've got just the guys who are lining up to face him, right? You've got we can see the months that are going to happen. Even we started with the promo battle last night, but obviously you've got Kenny who is on that list, Swerve who is on that list, Hangman who's on that list. Like everybody is just lining up to face MJF as the champ. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to probably see some of that out and not have a quick surprise change at Revolution.
Brody King, very controversial in that spot, huh? Imagine in these day and times, put the title on him. He'd have a lot to say.
Yeah, yeah. They had to send him to Australia to get away from everything.
Oh, man. That'd be something.
In the hair versus hair, are they going to do it right away on TV? Or are they going to do it like on Dynamite next week? I got to imagine, usually it's you do the hair versus hair right away, right?
Right.
So we're going to get to see Wheeler Yuta just shaved bald on television to start off the show.
I beg your pardon. That'll be Toni Storm.
I know. I'm starting to think that. Like, if anyone's nuts enough, it's her.
Like, but it's Wheeler. I know. Really like it might be Toni. Yeah. I mean, Tony's crazy enough to do it, but Wheeler's been growing this stuff out for a reason. I know the wrestling thing, right? You see someone with really long hair. Like, I mean, McMahon in that Battle of the Billionaires, like that quaff was just over the top. Like that Kentucky waterfall he had. It was amazing when he was going. I was like, what is this? This big pompadour that he had. And he got his head shaved. But the same thing with Wheeler Yuta. He's looked like the unhoused for about a good year now. So, and make sure they do it right now. Don't forget, wrestlers are sweaty. Wrestlers are sweaty. You need, when they get those clippers, make sure that the electrical outlet works. And then when you get it in there, make sure it works. I've seen the hair versus hair match go wrong where it's like it gets caught up in the clippers and now you're pulling hair instead of cutting hair. Oh, my God. That's the worst. And then blood's coming from it. Like, do it right, man, if you're going to do it, man. I've seen it wrong a lot in wrestling. Especially territorial wrestling. You got a hair versus hair match. It did to Jerry Lawler in Memphis, by the way. They had the clippers and were just pulling his hair out and just like blood coming out because it doesn't a clean cut.
Right.
Do it right, please. Please.
You're right. I could see Toni doing it just to be like, oh, and this would really help put over Marina Shafir like on her climb. But you can't do that to Toni in her home country. And again, she even though she's the one crazy enough to do it in her home country.
Uh-huh.
And so who are the baby faces again? Aren't the Death Riders baby faces? So are they baby faces? Well,
Wheeler, the Death Riders are kind of baby faces except for Wheeler. Wheeler is most certainly not a baby face.
This is so confusing.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. Like, because they were baby faces to start the show last night against Don Callis' family. Then they're heels for that. And I thought there was another moment where it's like, wait, what are they? Oh, yeah, the tag match versus Orange and Roddy. There are heels in that.
But Mox is on commentary not saying anything about Wheeler.
Right.
What the
Mox
hell?
Is a baby face. And
Mox is definitely a baby face. I think Marina is. Okay. But maybe she's not. Because like she also attacked Shirakawa Marina and brought her out.
Yeah, yeah. How could you be a group and have some of baby faces, some of the heels? That makes no sense. Zero sense. We talked about this weeks ago. Like, I can't root for a group that has Wheeler Yuta in it. Right. We're supposed to hate him, right? And also Lockbox Mox.
Right?
Uh-huh. He locked the championship away.
That was months ago.
This guy. Still apologizing for Moxley. This guy here. Once a Mox fan, always a Mox fan.
He's putting the championship on the line. Like, what do you want? He's not doing it anymore. That's the old Mox.
Yeah.
He's got a new championship, and he's got it out for the world to see, Hood. Should appreciate our continental champion.
And Bryan Danielson has to sell it as a babyface.
Uh-huh.
A guy to try to murder you on TV. He's sitting next to you at the commentary booth like nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Nonsense.
Although I am glad we had Danielson on commentary. I think he was great in the strap match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which apparently had his blood still on it.
Which I thought was a great note. Whether it was true or not, I thought it was a great like little thing for him to add. Like, oh yeah, I had a blood, I couldn't get my blood out of this thing. Which is such a Danielson thing to say. But either way, again, I think like I will not be able to watch this on Saturday night. I am going to be hanging out with my wife. It's odd timing. But again, it's the way sports are. The Super Bowl is on Valentine's Day next year. So
it's a good lead up to that. Prepare you for next year.
Yeah.
I'll check out Grand Slam on President's Day. Thank you.
What do we have at news and notes this week, Brian?
All right, some injury news in the WWE. Friend of show Chelsea Green suffered an ankle injury last week that many expected wouldn't result in a long layoff, but she took to Instagram herself to let the world know her ankle is, in fact, broken, which is going to result in an extended layoff.
I'm sure Michael Hayes is happy.
Bummer, because then she had to lose. She ended up losing the AAA mixed tag team champion in a match she wasn't even in. They replaced her, and then they lost, and now she has no championships. Our wrestling is worse off without her in it, so I hope it's a speedy recovery for our girl Chelsea Green.
She also, though, is someone that I think will still be on our television despite the injury.
Why? Because SmackDown has 3 hours to cover?
That, and she's that entertaining. Like the match is like, oh, yeah, they'll happen eventually, but her being pushed around in a wheelchair, her doing the backstage stuff. There's still stuff for Chelsea to do.
Co-GM? No, that's TNA. Can't do that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do co-GM because that sucks. Yes, we feel bad for her because she's friend of the program, and hopefully she's on the mend soon. Michael Hayes, though, says, hey, she'll never be nothing but a comedic character. Hey. Okay, when she comes back strong, she'll be a baby face, and hopefully she'll find championship gold.
Yep. WrestleMania is only a couple of months away from taking over Vegas, but they'll only be taking over Allegiant Stadium. Reports out this week that WWE is blocking Vegas bars and casino sports books from showing WrestleMania 42. Ticket sales reportedly about 18% lower than they were at this time last year.
Yeah, I think I saw a 50-mile radius around Vegas. So obviously they just talked to ESPN, and ESPN blacks it out. And not a great look for anybody involved. I know that. But this is what happens when you decide to go back to Vegas instead of going to New Orleans.
I know that it's a deeper dive, so I'll be brief. I just know that Las Vegas has had a hard time having people come to Vegas because they don't have the international dollars that they used to. People would fly in from across the world to go to Las Vegas, and now down, what did I see, Brian? It was like 25%, something like that, as far as people coming to Vegas. And so now the sports books are not as full as it used to be outside of the major tentpole events that we know, the Final Four and Super Bowl and all that. But I mean, it's down overall. But so now you expect families of three and four to be able to pay through the nose more so than last time you were in Las Vegas. And that now, so now that sucks because, again, the family that drove or flew in cannot afford those tickets. They cannot. So you get what you deserve. This is not a WWE problem. It's a TKO problem because they do this with their boxing and their MMA as well.
When you've got Nick Khan talking about your fans and only in terms of dollars, and we haven't charged what we think we can charge, man, you got to appreciate your fan base, because then they go away quick. And again, for Vince McMahon, for all of his flaws, understood how quickly that fan base could go away.
Yeah,
because they did. Because they did. They went from, again, they were doing smaller arenas. It was smaller shows out of the Attitude Era, and then they were able to build it back up into what it is now. And one way to get people less interested is price them out.
Yeah, when you have Nick Khan making Vince into a sympathetic figure because he cared about family pricing, I think that speaks to what path they're going down.
It's not great.
TKO.
Think about that statement.
Right.
Which is 100% true. Making Vince a sympathetic character, that's hard to do.
Vince understood that wrestling is for not for the affluent, it's for the poor and the middle class too. See, TKO doesn't understand wrestling. That's all. They just see dollar signs. And fine, God bless them. When they go internationally, they make a ton of money. But come stateside, wrestling has always been built on every economic ladder, all of them. if it's people that are poor, they will find a way to say, you know what, we're going to get all our pennies and we're going to go to the wrestling match, even if we get sit at the top of the stadium. We're going to get there, right? Cheap tickets, but we're going to get there. And you see that top row, that upper deck, a lot of people are getting the cheap tickets, but they're selling it out because they want to be there. It's not for those that are affluent or upper middle class and people that have that disposable income. It's for all incomes, wrestling. It's always been that way until now with WWE. So good luck.
Yep. Well, there will be something in Vegas to take on Friday, April 17th. The Sandman will be taking part in his final match ever at Joey Janela's Spring Break. His opponent has been unveiled. It is not Joey Janela. It is the Invisible Man. Last year, Sabu took on Joey Janela at this event in his final match. The Sandman versus Invisible Man in Vegas, Friday, April 17th.
Oh, that's Friday night. Okay. Yes. I thought this was the reason why you needed to get out of WrestleMania night one early.
So the clusterfuck is Saturday. That's the one that has that 80-man battle royal. Brody Jr. was in it last year. I missed it last year because I had to get out of town. So that's Saturday night. But you can stream it on Triller TV. Sandman, Invisible Man?
Doesn't seem like Hood's into it.
No. Sandman's final match. It's going to be a Matt Classic.
I'd rather see Matt Classic. Matt Cardona in a mask. I'd rather see that, actually.
What is he going to do that whole Vegas weekend, not being able to go to these indie shows?
What do you mean, the Invisible Man? What are you talking about?
He's invisible.
And so Sandman's going to wrestle like how Shawn Michaels wrestled God in that tag team match with Vince and Shane.
Uh-huh. Just like that. He's going to drink beer. He's going to take shots. He's going to take bumps.
Or like the people at the Will Ospreay show when they wrestled John Cena. Yeah.
That's so bad. That's never been entertaining to me. You know that? Like at all. Like one person wrestling nobody and just going through the machinations of a wrestling match. You know how much that is to shits? That's so bad.
I mean, the Invisible Man is not as over as blanking on the name. The doll that wrestles also usually Mania weekends.
Kenny Omega would have a word.
He's that wrestling. Doll is very over, more over than Invisible Man.
You're gonna make Jim Cornette's head explode.
Like, Invisible Man makes sense if you're doing it with somebody like a Will Ospreay. Like Invisible Man versus Sandman in his last match.
Uh-huh. Please, guys, please. My head is splitting. Please.
See you there.
All right, Let's get to actual matches. What'd you have for your matches?
Does it get any better than Fletcher Ciampa?
Man,
not really.
Should have been on pay-per-view, or maybe a Grand Slam, something like that. You know, it is true, guys, that it is strange that Ciampa had it for 11 days in two title matches, and honest to God, we'll never get back up there again. Like, he will get lost in the shuffle, even though it was a great story. Fletcher wins, but that was such a tremendous match.
It was so good.
It was tremendous. It was toward the end, I'm like, I have no idea who's going over. Had no idea who was going to go over. Like in back of mind, you're going, okay, Fletcher having the championship going into. I thought it was going to be a draw. I thought they're going to do a time limit draw, especially because, again, they sometimes tip that off when they have Justin Roberts jump on the mic. 10 minutes remaining. 5 minutes remaining. You're going, this is going to be a draw. And somehow, I mean, again, Fletcher won. I'm not mad about it. It was fantastic. I feel bad for Ciampa, but you know, it is what it is.
When he did win, I just assumed I heard wrong that it was a title match. I'm like, oh, I guess it's just non-title. That's why like he's winning. There was like, oh, no, he's the champion now. I assume they run it back at the pay-per-view and do it again. But like Fletcher is Ospreay territory at this point where it doesn't matter who he's in the ring with. Like every single time he goes, it's 5 stars and it's unbelievable.
So it goes MJF, Ospreay wins the title at All Out.
All in.
In London, Wembley. Yes.
Yep.
In August.
Yep.
And then.
But I don't know if he's going to be back in time for that.
Oh, he's really? Fine. He's ready to go. It's not it's not Bianca's finger. He'll be fine. This is Bianca's finger. So devastating. It took out a whole entire tag team. Uh-huh. It affects Montez Ford and Dawkins. That's how bad that finger is. So I would say that that's Ospreay winning in August, and then that's Fletcher winning after that.
It feels like that's the path we're on.
Yeah. In 2027, he's the guy.
Yeah. Like him winning a world title is no longer an if thing. It's just when at this point.
Please let it happen before he goes to WWE. Jesus. Could you imagine all this work he's put in AEW? Like, never won the title. And then we can never talk to him again because he'd be in WWE.
Yeah.
That'll be it for that. You know, he's our co-host.
That'd be heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't had him on yet in 2026.
Yeah, Brian.
Being completely honest, it's been 6 weeks.
What are we doing? Australia, but yeah, we'll reach out.
Revolution, let's go.
The TNT triple threat from Collision, also fantastic. That one was Ciampa, who retained against Roddy Strong and Claudio Castagnoli. That was fantastic. Again, Ciampa just shows up, puts on great matches, and then they take the title off of him 11 days in.
I love the tag team triple threat match last night because Private Party apparently still works in AEW.
I saw that. The spot fest.
It was fun. Private
Party. Well, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, it's the thing you kind of like. I mean, yeah. It's fine. It just – to see Private Party show up still in the company, like, okay.
A year off television.
I just assumed their contracts expired. Didn't their contracts expire?
There was reports that like they were WWE bound. It was like they were gone. They dropped the titles in January of 25, and then last night, like, hey, here we are again.
12 months, or well, no more than that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
13 months off of TV, and they're still doing their thing. Uh-huh. And Ontario, California is like, what is that? No idea what that is. No idea. They got a
still
couple
dapping
of those.
Up the security guard. Hey, they still remember the secret handshake with the security guard. Yeah. So that was, you know, after 13 months, that was important.
And then the bell rang.
No, they're fine in the ring.
Oh, please. Please.
I'll also add from last night, I really enjoyed the Kenny and Swerve promo.
Yes. And then the brawl. Some realism.
Good way to
there.
Kick off the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the best Miz match I've seen in a year against Carmelo Hayes on SmackDown. Oh. I have never seen that move, that skull crushing finale, reversed that way.
Correct.
It was awesome. I was like, wow, okay. I've never seen it like that before. That's the best Miz match I've seen in quite some time.
It was. No, I'll give credit to it. That's about the only match I thought about in WWE of putting on the list. WWE had a rough week in terms of some of the matches that they were putting out there. Which is why my final one is Tekla versus Stat. First ever women's strap match in AEW. I put it on there because we talked about it a couple weeks ago when they fought. Right person went over. Tekla should have gone over, and she did.
Round 3 at the pay-per-view?
Sure, if Tekla wins.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm ready for her to be a champion. Yeah, see, all her matches are just – she's the new Luna Vachon. She's fantastic. Great character. And I think it's time for her to win a championship. I think so. I think it's time.
Yeah, that's how we saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why she ultimately went over last night. Again, we've got Elimination Chamber coming up at the end of the month. Grand Slam Australia coming up on Saturday. Maybe you watch it on Sunday. Maybe you watch it on Monday because you've got some special plans for that special someone. Either way, make sure you check out all of our content. Subscribe, comment over on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. And we would certainly appreciate it because we're going to have a lot more content on the road to WrestleMania. And we're going to talk about it all next week here on GKW.